Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. The pastor asked me this week to, as he said a little while ago, to reinstitute something that we had here years ago. And I began to ponder on it most of the week. Try to ignore it. I wanted to go a different direction tonight, but I just felt God leading me back to this, and I figured, well, what better way to really bring it up than to bring it into a sermon so we can kind of understand what our obligation is for us members of Open Door Baptist Church. Just before I get reading here, we're going to read several verses here tonight to kind of paint the picture. But before I get going any further, I have to say one of the fondest memories that I have, a lot of men will have memories of their fathers sitting on the fishing bank or in the car doing some hunting, things of that nature. My fondest memories growing up is being able to, at times, being in the presence of my father and going door to door with him. I really enjoyed those times, I'll be honest with you. They were very intimidating for a guy like me who doesn't really feel comfortable talking in front of people, you know, those things of that nature. But just to be able to watch a man of God be in action, to be able to show compassion towards people that he probably just met that Sunday, wanted them desperately to come back to church. Not just going to people who visited a church, but going to other doors that were close by. And just to be able to watch those things, those are memories that I will treasure until the day that I leave this world. And so it really got me thinking this week the importance of fulfilling the great commission that Jesus has called us to do. So go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 28. As you're turning there, I want you to find Mark chapter 16. I want you to find Luke chapter 24. I want you to find John chapter 20. And I want you to find Acts chapter 6. This is important for us to go through tonight because Christ mentioned this in his word on five different occasions. And so if he's going to take the time to mention it on five different occasions, that's telling me that this is something of great importance to him, that he desires to see each and every one of his children fulfill while they're here on this earth. And we'll begin to see these things. But before we go, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. God, I pray that the message that you laid upon my heart will come out to where to be a challenge to your people, as it's been a challenge to me. God, you've opened my eyes up once again, and I appreciate that you for that, and I thank you for that. So God, we just ask your will be done tonight, and we ask it in your name. Amen. So as we begin in Matthew chapter 28, we'll begin in verse number 11. It says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now here comes forth the great commission that Jesus has called us to do. It says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Mark chapter 16. I trust you have your place there. By the way, I enjoy hearing scriptures being turned in church. There's no other sweeter sound than hearing somebody grab their Bible and flipping from page to page. As we begin in verse chapter number 16, I'm going to pick it up in verse number 15. It says, And he said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Again, reemphasizing what he said back in Matthew chapter 28. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 24. Book of Luke chapter 24 tonight. And we'll pick this up while we read a lengthy portion here. Verse number 36 says, "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till ye be endued with power from on high." Again, reemphasizing what was said back in Matthew chapter 28. Turn your Bibles, look at John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. Verse number 19, it says, "Then said the same day at evening, begin the first day of the week." Verse 19, "When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his sides. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on him and saith unto him, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Book of Acts, chapter 1. Book of Acts, chapter number 1. Verse number 6, it says, "When they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, what wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth." So five different occasions you see Jesus speaking here, showing us what you and I are to do when we accept him as our Lord and Savior. So including in the four Gospels and including the book of Acts, the Great Commission is given to us. There is very clear direction that we are to go. Then there is very clear direction that we are to teach. Then there is very clear direction that we are to baptize. And then last, we are to observe. These are very clear directions that are given in God's Word for us to do. But unfortunately, this message is being ignored by God's people around the world. Not all have ignored it. Thankful for the ones who have stepped up and said, "Man, I realize how great of an importance it is to the Lord Jesus Christ to have me help him fulfill the Great Commission." And so there are some that do those things. But a great deal has ignored that call. The reason for this is we have allowed ourselves to become too settled in this world that God has said that this is not our home. He says in his word, "This world is not my home." But we become too settled in this. We become too focused on what we're trying to achieve and what we want to allow in our lives, rather than looking to see God's will in our lives in these areas. It is understandable at times when we lose our focus. But to stay in that position can be very dangerous for the church. Very dangerous. And I will expound on this later on as we come to a close in the message. Jesus had asked his disciples if they would just watch and pray. I mentioned that last week as I was dealing with the washing of feet, and I'll mention it again this week. And we see that they lost their focus, and what happened when they lost their focus, they dozed off and went into sleepy land, began to have their dreams, and began to restore their strength of their bodies. They lost focus on what Christ had asked them to do in that time of need in his life. But it's dangerous when we stay in those positions. I'm going to throw a little bit of history at you to help us to understand some of the things that have taken place. The United States had come under some pretty rough times due to the conflict of war. Conscription in the United States, commonly known as draft day. This was instituted because America needed the help. America needed the help. So in six wars, one, the American Revolutionary War, the American Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War, was when drafts were brought in to do service. I believe it was at the age of 18. When you turn that age, you went directly into the military. Some would become draft dodgers. We would know many famous celebrities who would want to dodge the draft, and they would go about a different direction in life. And they lost their focus on why we were called the United States of America. The fourth incarceration of the draft came into being in 1940 through the Selective Training and Service Act. This was the country's first peacetime draft. From 1940 till 1973, I put the wrong date down there. I put 1073. Anybody alive back in 1073? I'm glad I caught that. Julie, don't raise your hand. Men were drafted to fill vacancies that could not be filled through voluntary means. This, however, came to an end in 1973 when the U.S. moved to an all-volunteer military. I bring this up for a very specific reason. Being in the service of God, we are volunteering our time. We're giving our time to him. The draft was needed during these times for wars. Because during these times of wars, if it wasn't for the men and women who were drafted, those wars could have been lost, and these measures were taken. Drafting was not popular among moms when their babies turned 18 years of age, and they had to see their sons go off to do service. I have heard of stories of younger men than the age of 18 who had a great desire to volunteer their time before draft day took place. And many young men would lie about their age, and they would voluntarily go into the service because they loved their country. They wanted to defend their country. They had a goal. They had a purpose. They had a vision that was given to them, and they wanted to see and know what they were doing in their life was going to be beneficial to protect their families so their families can go to bed at night and sleep in peace. And those young men, some at the age of 15, some at the age of 16, 17 years of age, would go off in a war, would give up their very lives so that we would have the freedom that we have today. And they all did this because they loved their country and they wanted to volunteer their time. You know, as I begin to think about those stories and the men and women who did these things, should that not be our desire as children of God, to be willing to say, hey, God, I know that you've saved my soul from hell to heaven. The least that I can do is begin to volunteer my time to help you fulfill the Great Commission. Now, the ironic thing about the Great Commission is Jesus really doesn't need our help. He can speak and anything can be done. But what is that just boggles my mind is the king of this world wants your help. He wants my help. And to me, that's exciting that the one who gave up his life so that we can have eternity with him wants you and I to be a part of his ministry to win souls to him so that they can share an eternity with him. So that's where we need to be in our lives with this same type of mentality that these people had back in the day. But drafting was not popular, but it had to been done for this very reason, because the volunteers were no longer there at that point in time. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37 through 38. Go ahead and turn there, if you will. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37 through 38. I put my glasses down. I forgot that I had much more reading to do this evening. In verse number 37 through 38, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Here the Lord begins to express his concern to his disciples about the volunteer shortage that was there. There was a shortage, and he brought this up. He was concerned about this. So much concerned that in the next verse he says, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I don't know about you, but this last year has changed a lot in our society. It's changed some things that I had never thought I'd see change in my lifetime. You can pull up to the most common fast food place. You can go through the drive-thru. And on that drive-thru, there'll be a few notes. It'll say, "Please be patient with us. We are short staff. Be patient with us for the ones who showed up to work." You know, I've seen that sign on many different businesses throughout our community. And what that is telling me is there's plenty of work to be done in our city, but there are few that want to go out and actually work. I have known of folks that have had people apply for jobs. Gary just told me one of them himself, and that's just Gary, and I've heard of some others, that people will just apply for a job so that they can say they did it and continue to get their unemployment checks. That's what's going on with our world. So there's jobs out there that need to be done, but it's not being taken care of because people don't have the desire to work. And that's all due to the fact you can't outgive government clause. You'll figure that out in a little bit. It's not Santa Claus, it's government clause. And they probably just kicked us off YouTube, which is okay. I got that off my chest tonight. But there's plenty of work that needs to be done, but laborers are few. Tonight, I want to get this across tonight if I can. You are a laborer for God. That's what we have to understand tonight. So Matthew 9, verse 37 to 38 shows us even during the times of Christ that there is plenty of work, but very few laborers to go along with the process. There are few and far in between. Then it says to pray for the laborers to go to the fields. During critical times, we see people step up to the plate. I'm thankful for the ones who step up to the plate. Now, we as a church are in a very critical time. And that is the field that God has called us to go to is being abandoned. Is being abandoned. I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to answer. When was the last time you were able to lead someone to Jesus Christ? Let me go a little further. When was the last time that you invited somebody to church? When was the last time that somebody at work asked you to pray for them and you said you would, but you didn't? The field that God has called us to is being abandoned. And the result is people are either getting approached by false teachers saying, hey, come to our religions, come to our gatherings, we want you here. They get underneath the false teaching of God's word. And the second thing that happens is they will either die and go to hell. For this reason, what I said just a little while ago, the field that God has called us to go to has been or is being abandoned by God's people. I'm not just talking about Open Door Baptist Church. I'm talking about churches across America. It's being abandoned. Well, you might say, Jesus didn't mean for us to go in that direction. That was just meant for the disciples. Well, if that's the case tonight, if the Bible is just written for the Jews, and if the Bibles are just written for the disciples, then we might as well just close up our Bibles right now and walk out the doors and don't worry about anything else. Because I believe that God not only gave this to the disciples, but is being given to us this very day. But I'm here to show you that Jesus has called you. Turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 20 again. Book of John chapter number 20. Verse number 27:1, it says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father, let me do this. You're all in John chapter 20. Let's read this out loud. John chapter 20, verse number 21. Read it with me. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. You know what that verse just tells us? God is sending us to the field that he has called us to. Meaning you and I have an obligation to go to that field because he has sent us. It couldn't be any more clear than that. It says, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Too often we have left this responsibility to the pastors, we'll leave it to the deacons, or we might leave it to other laborers in the church. But here's the result of those things. Putting more responsibilities on him, putting more obligations upon him, and what happens? They begin to weary themselves to the point where they're sick often, or they might die. I can look back on my life with sports. I'm going to bring sports into this, which to this day I thoroughly enjoy. The other night I went out golfing with Gary and Jake, and Jeff came along. I enjoy that time. I enjoy getting out there. Even though golf doesn't enjoy me at times, I enjoy trying to hit a little ball with a big stick. I look ridiculous. I look like Shrek out there trying to hit a little pebble. And it's probably comical for people to watch, but that's okay. If it gives them a laugh, I'm good with that. But I will say this, even though I love sports, I love basketball. Somebody told me today that I need to give up basketball, and I responded to her. I gave it up a year and a half ago. And COVID came along, and then my heart condition. But with that being said, sports is no longer my main focus. God has changed my desires. God has given me different obligations. But I'm going to use sports as an illustration, if I may, tonight. I remember back in the day when our school was surrounded with boys. Today, you look at our school, they're surrounded with girls. But back in the day, we were surrounded with boys, and we were able to play basketball, and I enjoyed that time. I enjoyed that camaraderie, being with my teammates and getting out of school for an hour and a half every single day, and try to make practices longer. We wanted it to go all day, but Pastor would never go for that one. I'm still a little bit bent on that, but oh well. But anyway, I was never content with just going to practice learning all the skills. I wasn't content with that. I needed those skills to have so when it came game time, I can play. But I was never content just coming in and practicing, and when game time came around, sitting the bench. I wasn't geared that way. What I wanted to do is, hey, coach, do you see me? Do you see all the time that I put in for practice? Do you see the block that I did last week? Did you see that shot I made and all those things? You know, becoming about me, braggadocious. I wasn't content about sitting on the bench. I wanted to be put in the game. So with that desire, I began to work harder, begin to put in the extra work, not only just on practice, but back in the day, a lot of you folks don't know this. There's a few folks that are around here that remembers this. But just before you walk back into the gym, there's a basketball pole. Matter of fact, that basketball pole has been moved 3 or 4 times. That was a part of our life. It used to be over there by the garage over there until one afternoon when Matt came home and we were playing basketball with the boys. Jeff decides to belt him in the eye with his elbow, gives him 6 or 7 stitches. But before then, it was back over here, and Wayne and I, we'd be out there constantly working on our skills. I wasn't the outside shooter that Wayne was. Wayne, a lot of you folks don't know this, but Wayne was pretty athletic with the handicap that God gave him in life. He was very athletic. He can outshoot me in a 3-point competition any single day. But what he couldn't do was have a big body presence down below. That was my game. That was my field. And I made sure that I gave him every ounce of energy that I could down below so that he could not beat me outside physically. What do you mean? What'd you do to him? Well, I put my rear into him. I put my elbow into him to the point where he was tired. When it came time for him to shoot an outside shot, he couldn't do it. And I would win. And it only came because I used to get beat up a lot by Jeff. So I learned from that. So I put in the time, I put in the practice on and off the court because I wanted to be out in the court when game time was there. I wanted to be the person that people could depend on. So I wasn't content sitting on the bench. But I did sit the bench on several different occasions. I was pulled out of the game on several different occasions. And I'll never forget the last game that I played, my senior game up in Sioux City, Iowa, against my wife's team, Morningside Christian Eagles. And my coach looked at me on the court and he says, Chad, no, he didn't even say Chad. He goes, Springer, we're losing me. It's all your fault. I'll never forget that. And he was right. It was my fault. I had a bad attitude. It was my attitude that would keep me on the bench on occasions. It was my lack of respect for the ones that were teaching me the game. It was my lack of respect for my teammates. So you're not good without your teammates. Your teammates make you who you are. Michael Jordan would not have been the great player that he was if he did not have 4 or 5 other guys that were around him. He needed those guys to make him great. Point is, I wanted to be the starting player. I wanted to be out in the field. This should be our concept as well when it comes to the Great Commission. This should be our concept. This should be our thought process. You might say, I can't do this. But let me reassure you this evening, Christ can and will equip you for this. Maybe your strength isn't door-to-door. I rehearsed with you a little while ago one of my favorite memories, going out visitation with my father. There are times where I was out visitation with Dallas. And Dallas knows, and my father knows, that I would not do any of the speaking. Speaking to this day is not my greatest strength. But I do know this. Every single time that God has called me to speak, He equips me with the ability to do so. I might trip over my words. I might mispronounce things. I might do those things. But God's given me the strength, and He's equipping me to do what He wants me to do. Christ can and will equip you for this. But however, just like sports, there are many different positions that are needed to be filled to make a team successful. Many positions. Do you know when going out to the field, we need people that would stay back and pray for the ones that are going. Whether it be knocking on the doors, or maybe it's just leaving a simple little track on the door and going to the next house and the house after that. Or it might be not even going to the neighborhoods, but going down to your local grocery stores and putting gospel tracts on the doors of the cars that are there. By the way, one of the greatest witnesses that I know of this day that does that, even while he's on vacation, is my brother-in-law, Kurt. Thankful for that testimony that he shows. And every time I see that, I feel so ashamed, because he's done it and I have not. God has called us to help him fulfill the Great Commission. Chad, my strength's not talking to people. God can use prayer warriors in this church. God can use those people that will be willing to pray for a few things. I'm going to give you a few things if you're interested in being a prayer warrior as we go forth in this. I would encourage you to pray for boldness. We live in a very scary world today, and we need boldness. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And I believe that when we begin to ask, God will fulfill his word and will give us the boldness that day. Pray for protection. Again, I said it's not a very safe world anymore. We live in different times. Some of you can probably remember when you left your house back in the early days, you would never lock your doors. Now everybody locks their doors and they turn their security system on. We live in some different times. People become very rude and very aggressive at times. Which, by the way, I'm thankful for my size that God has given me, because not too many people become too aggressive with me. So there are some advantages in that area. So pray for protection. Pray for direction as we continue to seek God's wisdom in this area. Direction on where to go, what neighborhood to see, who to visit, things of that nature. And finally, as we would begin to close out during that time of a prayer, pray for more laborers that God would bring. And as you pray for laborers, pray for this as well. Pray for more prayer warriors. I told someone a few weeks ago, they felt so bad that they could no longer do the things that they can do because of their health. I looked at him with as much seriousness as I've ever looked at anybody. And I said to him, God can still use you to pray. And I covet your prayers. And I need your prayers. And he looked at me and he says, I never thought of that. And he says, now I feel useful. We can covet more prayer warriors to pray along with us. I said earlier that I would get back to something, and here's what it is. Because we can be in some great danger if we stay in a position where we've lost our focus. A church that doesn't have laborers, a church that doesn't have an outreach, is a church that will soon die. It will soon die. A dead church is not a place where you and I want to be. Where there's no growth, people are very comfortable where they're at, no outreach program, church is barely surviving, and I'm not talking financially, and eventually the church will close its doors. Here's how it starts out. Attendance will drop from God's people. You can look around here tonight and you can see the attendance is not what it was this morning. Church is no longer the most important thing in an individual's life. We use any excuse that we can think of to stay away from church. We live in some sad times. So one, attendance will drop from God's people. They'll be lucky to come once a week. Sunday school classes, think about this. Think about this real hard. Sunday school classes will be combined because an outreach program doesn't exist. Fewer and fewer kids will be in attendance, and we as Sunday school teachers will become comfortable with it. Sunday school teachers will no longer attend the weekly prayer service. Years ago, pastor instituted that any Sunday school teacher that was going to teach in this church should be here at 9:30 every Sunday morning. Sunday school teachers will no longer attend the weekly prayer service. Why do we even come? To take the time to pray for your class. And eventually, class doors will be closed. You see, the field is ready for you to come and harvest. But you have to be willing to put the work in and not expect the pastor, the deacons, the trustees to do all the work. Right now, we have left the laboring part. Think about this. I'm going to say this again. Right now, we have left the laboring part up to the teenagers. And shame on us for allowing this to happen. They're answering a call that we choose to ignore. The Great Commission isn't just for the teenagers to fill. It's for every single one of us who has called upon the Lord as our Lord and Savior. This isn't for the unsaved. It's for the saved to get involved and to do the work that God has commissioned us to do. I'm going to share with you my desire. My desire is for this community that God has called us to, is for them to know the Jesus that I know. I hear people talk about Jesus, but they don't know the Jesus that I know. And I want them to know the Jesus that I know. Well, who is that? The one who saved my soul from hell to heaven. That's who I want them to know. My next desire is for this community, after getting saved, is for them to know and to begin to understand the Scriptures. I don't understand everything that's in God's Word, nor do you. But that should not stop us from daily education from God's Word. I want this community to know and understand the Scriptures. It's past time we stop investing in the temporal things of this world, such things like sports and entertainment, and begin to invest in the lives of those that are around us, so they too can have their destination changed. So here's what I'm going to propose that we do. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to give you a little bit of an insight what God wants us to do. It says, go ye therefore into every nation, teaching them, baptizing them, and to observe all things. So one Saturday of every month, we need to set time aside. 2 weeks from yesterday morning at 10 o'clock, I will be here. And I would enjoy and love for you to join me during that time. Say, Chad, I can't do it. I can't go out. I can't walk. You're my prayer warrior. I need you for this. We will set a time aside for us at Open Door Baptist Church to begin to invite the people of this town to church. For those who go out, we'll have prayer warriors back at the church praying for what is going to take place that day. It was a sad day in America when the draft had to be instituted because the volunteers were not there. The laborers are few. There's plenty out there. But Christ needs laborers to go forth into this world. And you want to know the amazing thing about that is? It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter what you look like. God wants to use you. The question that I'm proposing to you tonight is, are you willing to be used? Are you content with just sitting here in the comfort of these chairs, allowing a message to come our way? If that's the case, if that's all we want in life, we're in a sad position because it should be more. For years, pastor has trained us. He's equipped us. Now it's time for you and I to kick off those training wheels and to go out and do the job that we've been taught to do. Jesus taught his disciples. And when he left to go back home to his Father, those training wheels were kicked off from them, and they went out to do the Lord's work. And can I tell you something in excitement today? That work is still going on. It's still going on. Do you want to join me in that? Because you can. And we will have a load of fun in doing this. We'll bring some donuts. We'll bring some coffee. We'll have a time of fellowship. I'm not asking you to give up your whole entire Saturday. Maybe an hour, hour and a half. Go out and bring people to this church. So that way, when we get to heaven, people will be there on your account. Say, yeah, I got saved because somebody knocked on my door. I got saved because there was a tract left in my car at the grocery store. I got saved because somebody just left a flyer. It fell on the ground at someone's house and I happened to walk by and pick it up. See, when God's word is distributed, it will be used. So I ask and I hope that you'll join me either in going out or being a prayer warrior that I've asked you to be. Will you stand with me? We'll have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and we'll be dismissed this night. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the desire that you've given our pastor to reorganize our witnessing program. So God, I pray that you would give me the wisdom to do what is asked to be done. I pray, Lord, for laborers to follow me so that we can work together and go out into this community to bring people into this church so that they can come to know you as Lord and Savior, so that their destination can be changed from hell to heaven just like ours is. The worst thing that we can do is when we receive the gift that you have given us, is to keep it all to ourselves. Lord, I remember on many different occasions as I was a young boy growing up and I could not wait for my birthday, I could not wait for Christmas because I knew of the gifts that would be coming my direction. And every time I received that gift, I opened it up with great joy and began to share with people around me what I got. That's exactly what we need to do with the gift that you've given us. To be excited, to share it with this world that you need laborers for. God, I pray that you just give us the direction to go. And we ask it in your name. Amen.